Listen to Mark and Neanderthal when you get
pretty
to work.
Sure they're illegal.
With the free KSLX app. 100.7 KSLX.
So let's do another Mark and Neanderthal match game type thing.
All right. Here's how we're going to do this one, all right? Hugh Hefner just passed recently. So many celebrities have posed in the pages of Playboy. What we do is we have Robin on the line, and Robin is going to have to tell us, true or false, who actually posed in the pages of Playboy. Now, that in and of itself would be cool, but now she also has to match it against a Mark and Neanderthal listener.
Yes, George from Gilbert was given the same quiz days ago.
Okay. All right, Robin, so here we go. Who actually posed in Playboy?
Lindsay Lohan.
Yes.
Britney Spears.
No.
Rosie O'Donnell.
No.
Took you a long time. Farrah Fawcett.
Yes.
Roseanne Barr.
Oh, gross.
No.
Cindy Crawford.
Yes.
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 Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh.
Yes.
Drew Barrymore.
Yes.
Robin Givens.
Who's Robin Givens? Oh, Mike Tyson's ex-wife?
Yes.
You did very well there. You got 8 out of 9, but let's see if you're able to defeat George from Gilbert, who we gave the same quiz to just a few days ago.
All right, here we go.
I'm George from Gilbert.
Lindsay Lohan.
No.
Britney Spears.
Yes.
Rosie O'Donnell.
No.
Farrah Fawcett.
Yes.
Roseanne Barr.
No.
Gross.
Cindy Crawford.
Yes.
Whoopi Goldberg.
No.
Drew Barrymore.
No.
Robin Givens.
No.
He only got 5 out of 9, so guess what?
Nah.
Did I win?
You did win.
Hell yeah.
I won?
You won.
Oh, my God.
You're going to sit in the third row to see Robert Plant over at Symphony Hall on February 26th. It's a Monday night.
Oh, my God. Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations. Hang on the line. We'll take all your information.
Thank you.
And that's how we play the Mark and Neanderthal Playboy match game right there.
Yes, and just in case you're curious, if you were keeping score, the ones that didn't pose ever were Whoopi Goldberg, Roseanne Barr, Rosie O'Donnell, and unfortunately, Britney Spears.
Oh, yeah.
Mark and Neanderthal in the morning.
Okay. Last couple of days have been very serious.
Yeah.
We've had to deal with the loss of a legend, a musical legend. We've had news that Steven Tyler has had to cancel some tour dates because he's not doing well. Bob Seger's not doing well. And, of course, the tragedy in Las Vegas. It's nice to be able to escape for a couple minutes and just point out the stupidity of mankind.
Yeah.
And have a laugh. So let's enjoy the Mark and Neanderthal Dumbass of the Day and try to be as silly as possible when doing so.
And you can catch this at the Mark and Neanderthal Facebook page. This is from La Crosse, Wisconsin, which is right next to Track and Field, Wisconsin.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yes. I love that.
Love that area.
La Crosse, Wisconsin, which is made fun of by football, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little east of gymnastics, Wisconsin.
Yep, baseball, Wisconsin, cries foul every time lacrosse guys come on the field.
So in La Crosse, Wisconsin, 21-year-old, this is a guy, Bailey Putkemery is his last name.
Bailey Putkemery?
Putkemery.
It sounds like a lacrosse player.
Yeah. No, he's just in La Crosse.
Oh, okay.
Wisconsin, yeah.
All right.
He was enjoying some sexy time with his girlfriend, 20-year-old Emily Scott, and they were getting pretty loud. Now, because it was 3:30 in the morning, and because they were in the back seat of a car underneath an apartment window,
right?
The person living in that apartment heard what was going on and called police because of the noise.
Naturally assumed that there was some sort of assault going on.
Possibly, yeah.
Right, no, I get it.
When the cop got there, he found Bailey and his girlfriend Emily in the throes of passion. You know, the windows are all fogged up, you know, like in Titanic.
What part of the body is the throes?
It hurts to get kicked there.
I understand that, sure.
So the car's rocking up and down. And,
right, yeah.
And
they came knocking anyway?
He did.
Didn't he read the bumper sticker?
He didn't read the bumper sticker.
What a jerk.
No.
How inconsiderate.
Cop opens up the door. He tells him to get dressed. So then
What do we learn? Lock your doors, everybody.
Absolutely. So the cop goes to the back of the car to wait for them to get dressed and come out. Stand there for a minute, and then he notices that the car starts rocking up and down again.
Huh?
They...
Bailey and Emily had
Hang on, let me finish.
Yeah, yeah. Just a second. Hold my beer.
I'll be right with you.
Hold my beer.
Hang on. 5 more minutes, kids.
This made the cop furious.
Look, kids, Big Ben, Parliament.
So he opens up the door.
I can't get left.
And he tells them to stop, only to have Bailey, the guy, complain that the cop was blocking him.
You know, give Bailey credit for being able to continue to perform under that sort of stress.
I know it.
You know what I mean?
Yep. He's got stones, the guy.
Sure he does.
But we already knew that. Bailey and Emily have both been charged with, among other things, the old lewd and lascivious behavior.
Lewd and usa are lascivious.
They are the Mark and Neanderthal dumbasses of the day.
I think that's a beautiful story you just told.
Yeah, it's touching.
Mark and Neanderthal.
Think you can name these tunes? It's Mark and Neanderthal's 30-second song challenge.
We need from you the titles of these 7 songs in 30 seconds. It works like this. The timer starts when the first song's played. When you know the song title, yell it out really loud. The artist doesn't matter. The timer stops if you're correct. Then we get ready for the next song. But the timer keeps rolling until you get it correct or the 30 seconds is gone.
All right. We welcome Derek to the program. Derek, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
Excellent. Did you listen to Pete Cummings yesterday to get the 30-second song challenge cheat sheet at 4 o'clock?
I actually cheated on the cheat sheet. I had missed it and went online and scrolled back.
So oh, look what you did.
Well,
yeah.
I have a 6 or 7 song cheat sheet.
Oh, look at you. Well,
only the 3 songs apply.
Yeah, only the 3 songs apply. The rest of them don't, you know, it doesn't matter. So here we go. Your 30-second song challenge begins in 3, 2, 1, go.
Ain't seen nothing yet.
Correct. Song number 2 and go.
Home Sweet Home.
Correct. Song number 3 and go.
Thank you. Baby, I Love Your Way.
Correct. Okay. Song number 3 is over. Now, song number 4 will start in just a second. How much time does he have left?
He's used 7 seconds in those 3 cheat sheet songs.
Okay.
So now, Derek, you're on your own.
Song number 4 and go.
Paradise City.
Correct. Song number 5 and go.
Brown Eyed Girl.
No, keep going.
I'm drawing a blank.
Uh-oh.
Van Morrison, I can't do it.
You got 5 seconds.
Oh, I got nothing.
Yes. You know what? Amazingly, I Got Nothing is the name of that song.
No, you lost, Derek.
That
you
is Wild Night by Van Morrison.
Wild Night.
Yeah. Got you there. But you know what? It's all good. We appreciate you playing along with us, Derek.
It's Mark and Neanderthal. Mark over here and the newly single Neanderthal over there.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't really talked about this. I've kept it quiet for the most part. But last Friday when I wasn't here, that personal business to which you were referring involved finalizing the divorce.
Yeah, you got to go to the courthouse.
Yeah, got to go to the courthouse and sit in front of a judge. And going to the courthouse is always a nerve-wracking experience because you're dealing with a lot of pressure. You know what I mean? You have to sit in front of a judge. You always feel like you've done something wrong. Like you're there and like you're being scolded for something.
Now, I've never been divorced. Do you have to justify it, like, to the judge?
Yeah, there's a bunch of questions that they ask you and stuff like that. Like, we did it pretty simply. Like, you know, after 26 years, there's nothing really left to fight about. So we just basically, we agreed to go our separate ways and do her thing. And she's great and I love her and she's fantastic and I wish her the best. And she says the same of me, at least to my face, so that's good.
Listen, I've been married 30 years. There's still plenty to fight about.
Thanks for bringing up the things that I don't get a chance to look forward to now that I'm single. That's very nice of you.
There's always new things to fight about.
Right, that's very kind of you. So I get to the courthouse, right? And they make you take all your stuff and put it in the a security check, like you would do in the TSA and stuff like that. Take your wallet out, your cell phone, your keys, all that stuff, put it in the little bin and stuff like that. And my belt. They made me take my belt off. Like, is there any recorded instance of any court being taken over by a man with a belt ever? ever. It's a strap of leather and a little buckle.
I got to make sure it's not a utility belt. You know, Batman, right, yes, Batman right, had yes. knockout pills in his utility belt.
Yeah, they didn't ask me to take my shoes off, though. We have evidence of a guy trying to plant a bomb on a plane with his shoes.
Yeah.
We don't have a belt bomber. There's no such thing. I mean, and it's not like the judge needs a belt unless he's a Jedi Knight and needs his robe cinched in at the waist. You know what I mean? It's not like a big deal.
That is weird. I don't know why they do that.
Yeah, so then they go in and they put you in a room with, like, a magistrate. She has to set everything up, make sure all your paperwork is correct.
Right.
And I knew I was in the right room when I got into line behind a woman who was a nice, slight little woman, stuff like that. I'm thinking, hey, I'm about to be divorced, maybe. She's about to be divorced. Maybe the two of us can combine her.
Right, right.
And I look down and I see the little neck tat on the nape of her neck that reads, Boo Boo.
Boo Boo was her tattoo. Her so neck,
boo-boo.
Her neck, her back of the neck tattoo.
Yep. So that's what I'm. That's what I'm. That's what I now. That's the pickings that I'm still looking at is Boo Boo. Who, by the way, showed up for court in flip flops, because that's appropriate footwear. Again, apparently there are a lot of Jedi Knights there.
Yeah. So. You know, it was originally a tattoo that just said Boo.
Right.
But it got infected.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
And then it became Boo Boo.
Yeah, and then when she had to have neck surgery, that's where the doctor, they marked it right there, so the doctor goes, this is where I'm supposed to do the surgery.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So you're, like, legally, are single and willing to mingle.
Well.
Single and ready to mingle.
Yes,
okay to mingle.
Great. This is a good announcement to be making on the air.
Yeah, you got your profile set up for agnostic mingle yet?
Right, yes. Yeah. Yes. I am willing to do some missionary work, though, at some point.
Big night tonight with the Diamondbacks. If you're heading downtown for the game, for God's sake, avoid downtown if you're not involved with the game or anything like that, because it's going to be a mess.
Yeah, this is the most excitement we've had here in the Valley in a long time as far as postseason baseball goes. It's a one-game playoff
against
the Colorado Rockies. Winner moves on to the divisional series. Winner of that moves on to the league championship series. And then they're talking about World Series, and wouldn't that be a nice thing to have here in the Valley?
It would, and there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff, you know, in and around the stadium before the game,
right.
All kinds of stuff. They've got a beer garden set up outside the stadium.
Sure,
Now, question, the person serving the beer.
Right.
In a beer garden.
Mm-hmm.
Bartender or horticulturalist?
Farmer.
Really?
Barley and hops.
Okay.
Yep, those are grains.
Just curious about that.
Just making sure.
Sometimes when you drink beer in a beer garden, there's soil at the bottom, and I've never cared for that.
Well, those are craft beers.
Yes,
they're very natural.
Yes.
Yeah, no preservatives.
You're not far from the truth there,
just
actually.
Dirt.
This is weird. The stadium holds 49,000 people.
That's capacity, although I've never seen it that full. Because when you get up there in the boonies there, there in the top, the angle of the top up there, the upper deck there, that is dangerous. You're taking your life in your own hands up there.
It'll all be full tonight, though. The game sold out in like an hour
week. All right, great.
49,000 seats. The first 45,000 people get a Diamondbacks rally towel.
All right, wait a second, D-backs. You couldn't spring for 50? You couldn't just go to 50,000?
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think 50 was probably cheaper? Yeah, I mean, you do get them by the number, right?
Yeah.
The more you buy, the less per yeah.
Yes, per capita,
you would
it
think,
would be
yeah.
cheaper.
Plus, you know, so the team's going to need some in the dugouts and stuff, and, you know, people, the news guys are going to need one so they can show it off on the TV. Yeah, the math doesn't work out. There are going to be several fans there that are not going to have their limited edition D-backs playoff towel.
Basically, like one out of every 10 fans you know is a straggler, a dawdler, a dilly-dallier.
Not a real fan.
Someone who cannot prioritize.
A bandwagoner.
Someone who lacks punctuality. I imagine that whoever's in charge of this was like, I do not like people who loiter, who loaf, who are late.
If you're not 15 minutes early, you're late, sir. You need to be here.
Seems very odd to me.
Yeah, 45,000. What they're saying, but they do this all the time, though.
When they do
championship ring
or a bobblehead thing. But
right.
It's always like the first 5,000,
right?
Get it? So you know, so most people don't get it. With this, it's like everybody and their brother is going to have a rally towel.
No, everybody but their brother is going to have a rally towel,
except for like 4,500 people who show up later than everybody else.
Yeah, no, it's get there early, or you may not get one of the 45,000 towels that are there. Literally.
Yes, get your rally towel tonight.
All right, then.
With everything going on in the last few days,
right,
we have to mention somebody who got overlooked.
Maury from Goodfellas.
Maury from Goodfellas passed away, but I'm talking about another guy whose name starts with an M.
Okay.
Monty Hall.
Is that his real name?
I don't know. Monty Hall from Let's Make a Deal, the host, passed away at age 96. I don't know that I have ever met in my life anybody named Monty.
I agree.
Not a common name.
Right. I mean, the only Montys I've ever heard of in my life were Monty Hall and Monty Python, and that's not a real person.
Right.
That's not a real person. I mean, born Monty Halperin.
All right.
He's a Canadian.
All right. Quick shortening of the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Monty Halperin.
But he passed away at age 96 over the weekend, and nobody paid any attention because there was so much other stuff going on. But, you know, that's part. I imagine there is a stirring tribute in this month's edition of the Spiegel Catalog, Chicago 60609.
Sure, I'm sure Monty's going up to the gates right now. Behind one of these three gates is a VIP pass to Hugh Hefner's suite for eternity.
Or you can take the $600 I have in my hand.
Right now, the lovely Carol Merrill is bringing down a box. I had to slow down and say that.
Yes.
Because it's very difficult. Say it, Carol Merrill. It's a very difficult tongue twister. But it's heaven. You know, she's not there yet, so this is what she has to look forward to.
Right, right.
A chance for Monty to pick behind gate number one, gate number two, or gate number three.
I don't know if Carol Merrill was the one who brought the box down the aisle. I think it's more like, we've got Monty's will in this box that Johnny Olson is bringing down the aisle. Let's see who gets what.
I have here in my right pocket.
Yeah, he had all that stuff going on.
Yeah, he was as shifty as a god. Could you imagine if he ran into Monty Hall on the street? He'd be like, get that kid, a guy away from the kids.
That's right. He's got all kinds of stuff in his pockets. He's a pickpocket is what he is.
And that jacket. What the hell? So, yeah, I guess a stirring tribute to the... I mean, this is nowhere near as respectful as we were yesterday to Tom Petty.
That was a lot of fun yesterday.
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't, but it was.
That's the wrong way to say it.
Right, I know what you're saying.
I enjoyed being able to do that
right.
And really feature some of his songs that you don't hear that often. And
right.
Thanks for all the compliments we got on. 602-260-1007 is the number. Good morning.
Oh, you guys forgot a Monty.
We did?
Yeah, the full Monty. Woo.
Mark and Neanderthal.
You know, with very little fanfare, and I guess it's difficult right now because there's been so many other huge stories, but our vice president, Mike Pence, was actually in town yesterday talking about tax reform, but also gave blood while he was here.
Well, that was nice of him to do that.
It was.
And a lot of people don't realize this. You should actually go to UBS because blood donations are needed up there in Vegas. And I guess you may or may not know this. Phoenix is, pardon the phrase, a feeder city to Las Vegas. So, like, the blood collected here feeds the hospitals in the Las Vegas metropolitan area.
I felt a little sorry for the guys. I went into a UBS location on Monday.
Right.
Trying to give blood and... I actually stood at the counter for about 5 or 10 minutes before anybody came over, and they said, you know, listen, I apologize. Usually on Mondays, we don't even do whole blood. So we only have 3 staffers here, and we're pretty overwhelmed. It's going to be at least an hour and a half or so. This was Monday. He goes, but we're doing whole blood because of what happened last night and everything. We're doing as fast as we can. So it was an interesting situation. There was a lot of people came out, which was very cool.
That's great, though. But, yeah, if you have an opportunity to donate some blood. And, again, I had no idea the vice president was in town. How do you think that makes the vice president feel? They shut down everything for the president, but not like he's on what, Air Force Two? Is that what he gets?
That's the vice president's role, though.
I know, but
it's a second fiddle job. It's a big second fiddle job. It's a large fiddle.
But
it's a second fiddle job.
Most vice presidents really are just sort of figureheads to intimidate the rest of the people in the room.
The vice president usually does ceremonial stuff. That's always been the way it is. And vice president rarely has all that much input into the policies of the administration. Dick Cheney was an exception to that.
And
I don't know if Mike Pence is or not, but...
Well, he's clearly a smart guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he's like a lackey that's just sort of on there on the side.
I was thinking yesterday when he's giving blood, the phlebotomist is probably the only person to approach the vice president with a sharp object and not be tackled by the Secret Service.
Yes,
he's got a needle.
Yes, probably, yeah.
No.
It was like taking blood from Cotton Hill, though. He does. He looks like a cross between Cotton Hill from King of the Hill and Race Bannon from... from the Johnny Quest shows, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? No, not
yeah,
really.
You know,
yeah.
You know,
fantastic.
All politics aside,
no,
that head of hair is a fascinating item on our vice president.
It's
and
white.
Our president, but the vice president also. It's an interesting head of hair.
They may be the best hair executives we've ever had in the United States.
Yeah. Our vice president's hair looks like the Snap-on stuff in a Lego set.
Yes. Well, I'm glad he was here in town. And
I wish I had it.
Yeah. Oh, no, don't get me wrong.
But hey.
You know, bitter. Table for one.
Let me me see a menu, please.
Yeah. Good morning.
Listen to Mark and Neanderthal when you get to work with the free KSLX app. 100.7 KSLX.